Welcome to the Female Physician Entrepreneurs Podcast. This podcast is actually a spinoff of a Facebook group. My name is Sharon McLaughlin. I created that Facebook group for female physicians so that they would have a place to come and learn about business, to network, and to grow. And we've done just that. So if you're interested, take a look at our show notes for our website, as well as a direct link to the Facebook group. This podcast is going to be about everything business. So let's listen along as we hear about tips to help grow our business.
I owned a medical practice with 11 providers, a surgery center, an imaging center, an anesthesia company, a lab.
And now you know why I wanted Dr. Sandra Weitz, who is a retired pain management specialist, on our episode today. She has a lot to share, and I'm happy to say that she's now doing one-on-one coaching. She's also offering advice. She's doing programs, and she has courses. So reach out to her if you want to add ancillary services to your practice. She believes that physicians should use what they know to leverage it and to work less, make more. All right, guys, let's listen to Dr. Weitz's story. Hello, everybody. Thank you very much for joining us today. I have Dr. Sandra Weitz here. She has been in the female physician group for a while now, but I wanted to bring her on to share her expertise. Now, I know overall she's quiet, but she comes with so much experience that I thought that this would be a person, a member to have on who's empowering. Her whole mission now is basically to empower you guys. So Dr. Weitz, thanks so much for being here today. Thank you. Tell us a little about yourself and how you got started. I know that you've owned, you know, your own practice, a medical building. How did this all come about? You started in anesthesia or pain management?
So thank you for having me, Sharon. I started out as an anesthesia resident, did a pain management fellowship at UCSF in San Francisco, and stayed on faculty for 5 years. As a member of this female group, let me tell you that I was actually the youngest member and the only female member of the finance committee for the Department of Anesthesia. That was really my eye-opening experience in terms of how little I understood about the business of medicine. And so in 1997, when Stanford and UCSF merged and we were taking a pay cut every year, my husband and I decided, okay, the cost of living is astronomical and we've got to leave. And so we moved to Baton Rouge, Louisiana. I joined a group who said that they wanted a pain specialist. They were an anesthesia group. And after about 18 months, it became apparent to me that they didn't actually have any idea what a pain specialist was. They thought I was going to do blocks in the back of a recovery room, didn't understand that I needed a clinic and that I was actually a real physician who was going to see patients and come up with a plan. So long story short, I left. I started my own practice and was the medical director at the local hospital, 1,000-bed regional medical center. Grew the practice. 18 months in, they say to me, we're not going to help you hire another doctor. And I said to them, well, wait a minute. I'm bringing you all this money. I want to form a joint venture with you. You need to help me bring on more physicians so that we can grow this together, but I want a piece of the pie. And they basically said, no, we're the 1,000-bed hospital. We don't need to do that. And I said, okay, that's fine. And I left. And so ended up buying a lot, built a 25,000 square foot building. And the joke of this is that initially I thought that the first floor of the building would be my clinic and an ambulatory surgery center. About 4 months in, outgrew the space and ended up taking the upstairs, which is 12,500 square feet, built that out as the clinic with 23 exam rooms. Changed the first floor into a multi-specialty ASC. And so had my practice upstairs, the ambulatory surgery center downstairs. And then fast forward, you know, another 10 plus years and brought on an imaging center, brought in anesthesia services, brought in the lab, added weight loss services, added psychology as an ancillary service to our practice. And so it just grew from there.
Dr. Weitz, I wanted to have you come on because you yourself said you wanted to empower others. There's a lot of discussion in our group as far as people being at a standstill with, you know, their prices, their basically salaries are being cut and they don't know how to, like, what's going to happen tomorrow. So what advice would you give to them? Did you have fear? Like what made, I know you're saying what made you do this because they weren't willing to negotiate with you, the 1,000-bed hospital, but still a lot of people just would stay in that position. They wouldn't move. Why do you think you were different?
I will tell you that I had a lot of fear. I had a lot of fear when I left UCSF. I had always envisioned that I was going to do academic medicine and publish and end up being the chairman of the department. And we took a pay cut every year. And I realized that at the end of the day, it, as much as I thought I wanted to do this, this was not really sustainable. And so, you know, to tell you that it was easy, no, there were a lot of tears and a lot of screaming on my part. And ultimately, I decided that I could either allow that fear to paralyze me, or I could take that fear and have it empower me. I would tell somebody that if you are afraid, okay, you need to really try and understand the emotional part of it versus the intellectual part of it. Everybody is afraid, okay? I was afraid when I started my own practice here in Baton Rouge. I was afraid when we took the loan out to build this building. I was afraid at many different steps, but when I put pen to paper and really came to understand the risks and the potential benefits and really worked on the list of how do I mitigate those risks, the decision actually became a lot easier.
That first few steps that you took as far as buying the land, building the building, starting the practice, did you have a coach? Did you where do you get the expertise from? This is not something we learn in medical school. How did you get through this?
This was on the job training. I mean, there was no coach. There was no anybody. Basically, how did I figure this out? I went to a meeting and somebody was talking about an ambulatory surgery center. They hooked me up with a woman who helps develop ambulatory surgery centers, who came out and did a feasibility study, she and the architect that worked with her. They basically said, you need to do X number of cases per week in order to make this financially feasible. They showed me a pro forma. I plugged in my numbers. I'm like, oh, we can do this. Here are my numbers. Went to our realtor, residential realtor, said, hey, how do I buy a piece of commercial property? And she hooked me up with a commercial realtor. And he said, oh, I have this lot. I'm like, well, how do I figure out whether this is feasible? He said, oh, you need to talk to this architect and they can help you do a feasibility study. So there's a lot of resources out there. You just have to ask. And you don't need to spend a lot of money on trying to get people to tell you how to do it, because a lot of the times you can find the information readily available.
If you know where to look. Really, and that's what you're doing now. I wanted to have Dr. Weitz come on because she's actually, although she says she doesn't have to work ever, and I believe it, when after you walked away from everything, she made a fair amount of money. You don't have to work, but you want to work because you said you were bored and you really want to empower others. When we look at the group, we see so many people stuck, as I had mentioned. So I really appreciate you coming up and saying, like, let's talk to the group about this.
Thank you.
So your advice to them, you're able to do a course. You'll talk to them one-on-one if they need this, right?
Correct.
What else? What else would you tell them?
What I would tell them is take advantage of what you know. Okay. One of the things that I see in the group is that people are very preoccupied with trying to find some new business outside of medicine. Most of us, if not all of us, went into this because we thought that we loved the idea of practicing medicine, that we wanted to take care of people. And that's what we're good at. There is a wealth of opportunity still within medicine that you don't actually have to look for some business outside of medicine. Take your practice, take the people, the patients that you're seeing, take the referral sources that you currently have, and try and figure out how to leverage yourself, okay? For example, I was a pain doctor. We do interventional procedures. I have to take that procedure someplace to be done. Well, why shouldn't I get the benefit of doing those procedures? Okay, that's an ambulatory surgery center. Wait a minute. I live in a community where there are a bunch of other physicians, all of whom also do cases in ASCs, most of whom are looking also to figure out a way to leverage themselves. So, hey, do you want to buy shares of my ASC? You can come do cases here. You'll get the revenue. You'll get the upside out of this. It's a win-win for everybody. Same thing with an imaging center. Same thing with a reference lab, okay? You are currently, for example, I'm a pain doctor. We see people who have psychological issues. Made sense to bring the psychologist into our space and get share the revenue. It's a win-win for the patients and it's a win-win for you. So there are many ways within your current practice of medicine that you can actually have your business idea without ever having to create a whole new network outside of that.
You need to figure out the certificate of need though, right? Like, are there some barriers? Like certificate of need comes to mind.
Sorry to interrupt you, Sharon. It depends on the state. Some states have a certificate of need requirement. Some don't. Let me just say this about ASCs, labs, Stark, anti-kickback, certificate of need. Medicine is a game, okay? It's the same thing that I see when people are complaining about contracting with insurance companies, right? It's a game. If you tell me the rules of the game, then I can play the game and I can win. The problem is if you don't educate yourself about the rules of the game, then how can you ever expect to win? If you watch poker on TV, all right, and you go, wow, these guys make a living doing this. Yes, because they actually practice and they know all the rules and they've seen all the permutations. The information for things like certificate of need are readily available. It's a thing called Google, okay? It is not hard to figure out the rules of the game with regard to what can I do, what can't I do in my state, what can I do, what can't I do based on a contract. You just need to educate yourself.
I can honestly say that there's so many here in New York and the Long Island, the Brooklyn area. So many of these facilities are not owned by physicians. They're owned by, I think, people that actually have very little in business. So you know that they're able to get that certificate of need. Some of them end up being those chop shops that get closed down and whatnot. So I think that it's easier than most. The bottom line is there's definitely a possibility, more than a possibility. It's doable, very doable.
Right. And the issue is it's all about assessing your own willingness to take on risk. And as I said, there are ways to mitigate that risk. You can, put on your big girl panties like I did and buy a lot and build the thing entirely by myself, in which case you get the entire upside. But if you're uncomfortable in taking on that much risk, you can go to an ASC development company and they will help front a portion of the money so you don't take on all that risk. You'll still get a huge return, but at least you don't take on everything. If you have a network of friends, meaning other physicians who might want to participate, you can harness them to mitigate some of your risk. So there are multiple ways to break this down into bite-sized pieces and move forward.
Thank you so much. Looking back, would you do anything differently?
I would have started earlier.
A lot of people say that to me.
I probably would not have stayed as long in academics as I did. I probably, again, it comes back to fear of the unknown, right? How am I ever going to practice by myself? How am I ever going to figure out how to do X, Y, and Z step? And the reality is once you plunge in, you do figure it out. So I just would have started each one a little bit sooner.
In the end, what did you sell off? You sold off the medical building. You sold off the practice.
I sold off the medical building, the practice, the ambulatory surgery center, the imaging center, and the anesthesia company. And then sold out of the other entities that I was a participant in.
Really amazing. Thank you for all your information. Going forward, I know you want to help others. What do you see in the future? What's your goal?
My goal is to really empower other physicians to be able to do exactly this. I think that, and you and I had a side conversation about this, it's not hard. It is something that if you have a blueprint and you put one foot in front of the other, you can actually do. So going forward, I am looking to teach people, how do you actually get that practice started? How do you best manage the practice so that you have the most revenue coming in. Because in order to bring on those ancillary services, in order to bring on that next provider, in order to have more satellite offices, in order to bring on the surgery center, the imaging center, et cetera, you have to have the cash flow. So I want to teach people how to best manage that practice. And then I want to show them the tools for how do you actually bring on all of those additional services. Okay, it's all about vertical integration, because at the end of the day, you really, if the only money you make is based on the patients you see, there's a limit to how many hours in the day we have. There's a limit to how many patients we see. But if we can vertically integrate all of these services, then all of these things are making money for you off of that same one patient.
I think I know the answer already, but even with all these hospital-owned businesses, you still think there's a chance for a private practice?
Oh, absolutely. And I'll tell you why. Just a quick side story. When I was a surgery intern, we had residence day. We went for a sail on a 20-foot boat in San Francisco Bay with an attending. And out in the distance, I saw, this was my first time on a sailboat. Out in the distance, I saw this huge tanker. Look up 2 minutes later and say to Dr. Hutchinson, the captain of the boat, "Hey, are we supposed to be able to read the name on that ship?" And he looked at me stunned and said, "Oh my God, why didn't you tell me it was coming?" I said, "Well, 5 minutes ago, it was a good distance away." And he said, no, we need to move. And I said, "Well, wait a minute. I thought that the sailboat had the right of way." And he's like, "They're bigger than we are. They don't move as nimbly as we do." Okay. So why am I telling you this story? Because at the end of the day, a private practice is much more similar to that sailboat. Okay. We are nimble. We can change with the mood of whatever is happening. We can adjust to whatever new regulations there are. These huge entities, there are so many layers of bureaucracy, and there are so many people skip because of that bureaucracy. There are so many layers of people skimming money from your bottom line profit that in the end, private practice will always succeed. But we can take back medicine if we actually move back in that direction.
Thank you so much again. It was a really enjoyable time. Remember, reach out to Dr. Weitz. She's willing to help. She wants to help. She wants to empower others. For those who are struggling out there with their practice, or perhaps you're in academics, you're working for a hospital, and you don't know what tomorrow brings, definitely reach out. Thanks, guys.
Before we get started, let me ask you a question. Have you started your online business yet? Builderall is an all-in-one digital marketing platform that helps you create and grow an online business. It's ideal for marketers and entrepreneurs who have started a business adventure. I have a link in the show notes, and you can try all the tools for 30 days just for $1.
Thank you for joining us on another episode of Female Physician Entrepreneurs Podcast. If you like us, please give us a nice review and tell your family and friends about us. We'll see you on another episode.